The Federal Treasury has released a briefing paper this morning which argues immigration is a net benefit to the economy and living standards would be harmed if numbers were cut. It also projects 50 years into the future, saying the nation's permanent, humanitarian and temporary migration programs should deliver a net fiscal benefit of nearly $10 billion to the economy. And if all those programs were cut, Australia wouldn't be able to find enough workers to sustain the current economy within 2 years. The paper's release comes at a time when the coalition's engaged in a pointed debate about reducing numbers, with the former PM, Tony Abbott, arguing the program should be cut to ease pressure on housing and infrastructure. Joining me now is the Treasurer, Scott Morrison. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sabra.
Why was this paper commissioned?
Well, it was actually initiated by the Secretaries of Treasury and the then Department of Immigration and Border Protection, now the Department of Home Affairs. So it's their paper, done at their initiative. And as you say, it was jointly done by those two agencies. And I think they've provided some just important factual information about the important role that immigration has played over a long period of time, and that continues to be the case.
The paper points out that in the 20 years to 2016, the population growth across the capital cities grew by 37% on average, most due to immigration. Isn't that the problem? As people drive to work this morning in congested traffic, and as people, young people, think about buying new homes and they find themselves locked out, the huge problem is that infrastructure and housing supply just hasn't kept pace with population growth.
Well, I think they're very fair assessments, and that's why in this year's budget we will continue to be investing strongly in infrastructure. It's why in last year's budget we put the measures in place to be addressing housing affordability, particularly on the issues of housing supply. I mean, one of the interesting charts in the report shows that for quite a period of time, housing supply was not keeping up with population growth where it had in previous decades. Now, that's an issue that needs to be addressed at the state and territories level, and many of the states and territories, I believe, are now doing that, and that's a good thing.
You've got to plan for growth. Fast enough, right?
Well, they've got to keep up with the place. You've got to plan for growth, because it's the growth that is what ensures that we can guarantee the essential services that Australians rely on. It's the stronger economy that Australians can count on for Medicare and for schools and for hospitals. And the budget will be very much focused on ensuring a stronger economy to guarantee those essentials, but also, as always, live within our means.
The other thing is that things like public transport often don't keep pace as well.
Last week down in Melbourne, announcing Tulla Rail, which is one of the most overdue public rail infrastructure projects that we've got strongly behind. But it's also important, I think, Sabra, that the paper explains to understand what's driving population growth. I mean, our natural increase of around 150,000 each year has been falling now proportionally, but it's been about that for a while. Permanent immigration has been about the same level. It's the rise in temporary migration in recent times that has really fueled that population growth. So if you're sitting on a bus or a tram or a train, the reason there's more people sitting on it actually has a lot more to do with the increase in temporary migration, people coming and studying, people here on visitors' visas, less so on the skilled work visas. That's actually been falling in recent times. So you've got to understand what's driving the population pressures, which our migration program, I think, provides the flexibility to do. But in addition to that, you've got to plan for the growth, which is what our budget is doing.
Just getting back on infrastructure, you talked about that project that you just announced. How will you get around, though, the usual fights that do happen with states on either the funding mechanisms for these things or what projects should be prioritised? How can taxpayers actually be assuaged that their money will be spent wisely and in a timely fashion?
Well, we've put that invitation to the Victorian State Government to work together on this project like we do on all the projects. Well, I think the public will expect the Commonwealth and the state to work together cooperatively on this. And I think the public actually are the safeguard, I think, for the governments at both levels to do the right thing by them in delivering this very important national piece of infrastructure for Melbourne and Victoria.
Many governments have also tried to prioritise resettlement of immigrants in regional cities, but they're still not the preferred places to settle, even despite attempts by the former Deputy Prime Minister to decentralise services to rural Australia, make them attractive. What else do you do to make regional areas the number one spot for people to think, yes, I can make this my home?
Jobs. Jobs. jobs in regional areas. That's people go where jobs are and where they're going to be. And I'm thinking of the former Deputy Prime Minister when I visited in Tamworth, and I saw, you know, what was happening in Tamworth. Very exciting what was happening in the economy in Tamworth and the developments that were going on there for housing, and that was because people were wanting to go there. Now, I commend that decentralisation initiative that the government has been putting in place, started by Barnaby Joyce, continued now and under the new minister. So I think they're all things you can do. But at the end of the day, you've got to have an immigration program that does a number of things. First of all, your borders have got to be secure, so I think Australians can have confidence the program is well run. Second, it's got to be demand-driven. It was the Turnbull government that changed the nature of permanent migration to make it a cap, not a target. And so if it falls below that cap, that's fine, because what we're saying is we want people to come to Australia who are going to make a contribution, not take one, and the scheme, the system is designed to put that qualifier. And then you've got to make sure you enforce the rules, which is what we do. So we're running a good program, and it is contributing to the national interest, and we will maintain it in the national interest.
The former PM, Tony Abbott, has called for a cut of 80,000 people a year, saying that Australia just cannot sustain it. What happens if Australia carried out that cut?
Well, look, this isn't about Tony Abbott. This is about what are policies in Australia's national interest. But to go to the issues. I just said it before. And that is, I mean, go back, I think it's the 14-15 year. The permanent migration program accounted for just less than a third of the increase in net overseas migration. The increase in permanent migration that year that went to population growth was half what the natural increase was. So if you're looking to understand what are the things that are really influencing how many more people there are on the bus or the tram or the train, it's what's happening with temporary migration. So you've got to ask yourself some hard questions about that. I mean, we've got more international students who are coming here and studying in our universities. That is generating important revenue for those universities, which means we can give more places to Australian kids in those universities. We've got tourists coming here, roaming the country, generating jobs in regional areas. So, you know, that's why you just got to plan for growth. And so, you know, that is not the main driver on permanent migration for the overall population growth. In fact, of natural increase, temporary migration and permanent migration, permanent migration has the lowest impact on population growth.
The Daily Telegraph has you dressed up as Santa Claus, saying that you're going to be Santa in 3 weeks delivering tax cuts.
Dory's getting in early with these front pages I see at the telly.
Why tax cuts, given this interview has just highlighted the huge need for infrastructure?
This budget will be a responsible budget. I'm not Santa Claus. It won't be Christmas in May, but, you know, I don't intend to be the Grinch either when it comes to these things. What we will have is what we've always produced, and that is a responsible budget with measures the country can afford that are about investing in a stronger economy. And that's investing in middle-income Australians, it's investing in infrastructure, and it's investing in the services that Australians rely on. But you can't rely on those services if you're not building a stronger economy, and you can't have a stronger economy if you're going to tax it within each of its life, which is what the Labor Party are going to do and force Australians to pay more.
All right, just quickly, the Royal Commission, AMPs admitted to lying to ASIC about charging customers for advice and services they never received. Mm. Recent cases. Mm. How shocking.
This is shocking, but I think what it demonstrates is the wisdom of the government in when we went ahead with this inquiry.
Reluctantly.
The record is clear on that, Sabra, but when we did it, we ensured that it wasn't the narrow cast proposal that the Labor Party was saying. We said it should include insurance companies. We said it should include superannuation companies, things that the Labor Party opposed. So the Labor Party were happy to have an inquiry into one element, but turn a blind eye in areas of superannuation and others. Now we said, well, no, if it's going to be one, it's going to be a fair dinkum one. And Commissioner Hain is getting about the job, and I commend him for his work. I do find those revelations shocking from that evidence, and we'll await his recommendations.
Treasurer, thanks for joining the program this
Thank
morning.
You, Sabra.